Hi everybody, it is me again. I'm Shelby with Hooks, Books, and Crime, and it's Craft and Storytime. I'm remaking what I did on my last episode because I did not like my color transitions. And I don't want to give it to my boyfriend's sister-in-law. I don't want to give it to her like that. It didn't look great, that's for sure. So I restarted her book sleeve. Also, because the first time I tried to I was clearly off on the count. I'm like, it's okay. It looked terrible. Like, where it's supposed to be checkers all the way around. First, one side was checkers and one side was just, a solid block of one color. It looked stupid. I don't know what I was fucking thinking, that's for sure. So, I'm starting that all over again. But, if you're ready, let's grab our crafts and let's get going. So, Mandy Gordon is 30 years old. She lives in Cedar Park, Texas, and she's a mom to two kids, Jack and Sally. And she seems to be a really good mom. You know, her kids are most definitely loved and well cared for. As she's a stay-at-home mom, her husband's name is Sam Bird. And he's a roofer, and he seems to provide, a pretty comfortable living for her. She's able to stay at home with her kids, and she's a very hands-on, active mom, always has activities for her kids, stuff like that. But there's a problem with Mandy. She's actually missing. So on December 12th, 2019, a 911 call comes in, and it's her mother, who is requesting a welfare check because she hasn't heard from Mandy in 3 days. And what has her even more alarmed is when she called her husband, he was basically said that he hadn't heard from her in 3 days either. And he's starting to get concerned also, which is I feel like one day most husbands would be something's weird. But we don't know their history. So I don't know, maybe they would separate from time to time, and this was the longest she's been away. But needless to say, she calls in the welfare check, and police are sent out to her home with Sam. So when they get there, Sam is home with the two kids. His brother Josiah is also there. But right through the door, as it is, he won't even come to the door. He's only talking to them through the window. And they can see his kids are there. They're not hurt or anything, but they can clearly smell weed coming from the window. And, they're talking to him through the window. He won't open the door. But because of the clear evidence that people are using drugs with kids in the house, that actually gave them precedent to search the premises. And as it is, because at first they ask, hey, you mind if we peek around, see if we can find anything for her? He's like, no, he does not want them searching his house. Which, that's just immediately, that's just that's weird. Why wouldn't you want them to look around? She's missing. I thought you're concerned. But like I said, because there's obvious drug use in the house with kids around, that gives them the precedent, and I don't think precedent is the right word. But that gives them probable cause, there we go, to actually enter the premises. And when they get inside, there's literally just pills hanging out. Just, candy. Which is fucking terrifying because the kids are young. They could easily get a hold of one of those. There's weed everywhere. And as they're searching, there's a few weird things, specifically three. And we're going to touch on each of these things. So, first off, number one. What's number one? Cameras. It's very obvious that this dude has cameras all along his property. But the cameras are missing. There's the stand, but not the actual camera. So that's weird. Number two, In the backyard is a shed that's like a makeshift office. It's nice in there. It's not like, like some dingy shed that we had in the country and everything where just, tools went. They made it nice. In that shed, the floor is like, oops, sorry. The floor is like completely revarnished and not like, oh, we're, just redoing the room. It's very sloppy. Very sloppy. It is clearly rushed. And Sam is blue collar. He's a roofer. I don't know anybody who works in something like that, like construction, electricians. Usually men in those fields, they don't appreciate slacking when it comes to those kind of blue collar jobs. They usually expect perfection or just a really good job because that's what they do. So the fact that this guy is just like, that's fine, and it's clearly shit, something's up there. And then his truck, on his work truck, on around the tires is this red clay mud. And if you're familiar with Texas country, I'm sure other states have this. That's not everywhere. So you can kind of pinpoint usually those areas, like where I grew up, I didn't have that. But then where my friend Jen lived, hers would start to get red, would start to get kind of sandish. And then if you drove further in and further out down the highway, then you'd get that red clay. Same thing with where my boyfriend grew up. His area, not so much, but you would see certain areas going further down the road that would have that red clay. And when police spot this, they're like, that's interesting because they know there's nothing like that in Cedar Park. That's not your typical terrain. And they also clock that Sam has one of those, those car wash stickers? That way it just reads the barcode and it lets you write in. You pay a monthly fee. He has one of those. So they're like, all right, might look into that too. Because of the drug use around the kids, and Sam has a former narcotics charge. Him and his brother Josiah are taken in because Josiah's at the house too. And the kids, I believe, go to Mandy's mom. So while they're questioning them, Sam, will not talk, won't say anything, But Josiah, he doesn't know anything. But he does give a useful amount of information. He mentions that a girl named Rachel had been over. And police are like, okay, well, who's Rachel? So then they look into and track down this Rachel young lady. They go to her house, and when they question her, and ladies, when you listen to this, if you're ever in this situation and you hear yourself sounding like this, clearly something is wrong. I don't care how great he is. I don't care that, like, oh, he buys me things or he's nice to me. Just because he's nice doesn't mean he's good. That niceness can go real quick. So, Rachel is talking to the police, saying she doesn't know anything, nothing's changed, blah, blah, blah. That her and Sam are just friends. That she knows nothing, she's never been there, me, me, me. Oh, but for some reason, she has Mandy's car keys. Why would you have those? So that's when she's like, ah, shit, whoops. And she goes ahead and tells them that, she actually is, really good friends with Sam, sure. And that Sam actually asked her for a favor, that he asked her to dispose of a Ziploc bag with some contents and, not to say anything. And that she did as he asked. Okay, no questions. Which, no, don't do it. Yeah, like, no. So, she does what he says. The fuck? Oh, okay, so I'm confusing myself. She does what he says and everything, but as soon as, she's caught in that lie, Rachel, she already knows, like, well, shit, they know I'm lying, so she just owns up to it. She takes them to where she buried this plastic bag. In this plastic bag is a pistol, along with some shell casings. And also, Mandy's glasses are in there, and they've got some blood on them. Not looking good for Sam. Two, three, four, five. Oh, what the? Oh no, I'm good. Oh, thought it was short. Okay, so when they go through the bag, and they're kind of like, Rachel, what's this? And she starts to talk, and what she tells them is, she comes clean again that yes, her and Sam have had a sexual relationship, which I don't think anybody was surprised doing that. You don't do anything stupid for a man like that unless he's fucking you. And if he's still doing dumb shit and he's not fucking you, something's really wrong. It's like that old saying, you don't give anybody a ride unless it's for ass, grass, or gas. It's kind of the same thing. Don't be doing dumb shit just for anybody. And even at that, if it's that dumb, you most definitely shouldn't be doing it. There's a red flag everywhere with this guy. And she's like, okay. And I know people are gonna be like, oh, well, she's young. I was young and stupid, but I know if anybody asked me, not even just like my boyfriend, if anybody asked me to hold some shit for them, like, nope, you're on your own. I'm not doing that shit. But it's also because I had parents who were on my ass, and the police weren't gonna get me. They were, so nope. Anywho, back to the story. So, she tells them that when she did ask him what was in the bag and why he was hiding it, he told her that it was an insurance, that he had gotten to some bad business deal with these guys in Bastrop, which is, kind of like a small town outside Cedar Park. That he's, a bad business deal, and that's gonna prove his innocence should anything happen, because he's some big shot, apparently, some big shot roofer. Okay. And I mean, Rachel's just like, okay. So she did it. Shocker, there is no bad business deal, by the way. Let's just cut that there. So she does it. And she tells them that that was what he told her, that it was going to prove his innocence because he felt that there was a price on his head and blah, blah, blah. Nobody's buying it, dude. Well, Rachel bought it, but I feel like she wouldn't have bought it for that long, too. I'm sure there was already questions. Maybe that's why she was so free to talk, because she was already just like, well, you know what? None of that made fucking sense. What am I thinking? So good on you, Rachel, for talking. I'm sorry I'm talking shit about you. But, okay, so we have the bag, and all of that goes in for testing and, evidence. Next, the car, the truck, the red clay. So, I said three, it's technically four. We're gonna go with the red clay here. As mentioned, the red clay that was found on his truck isn't what you normally find around the area. Luckily, a toll road actually picked up his license plate on December 9th, and it actually, you see him driving into Bastrop County late at night, and so they're like, okay. But also, keep getting this tangled. Also, so he's driving to Bastrop County. Then they find a gas station. This gas station actually, this gas station picks up his car, and his truck is very distinct because he owns his own roofing company. He has his business wrap on there, so it's very easy to tell that it's his truck. It's very distinct. Looks nice, but give him away real quick. So you see him driving in. You don't see his truck passing that gas station back into town or like to his home. until the next day. There's a 12-hour window missing. So police, look into this whole two brother aspects, and they are able to track down a ranch owned by two brothers, the Martinez brothers. And they go and pay them a little visit. The Martinez brothers, more than willing to help, answer all questions because there's actually no bad blood between them and Sam. They're a cool Sam. They do business together. But there's no bad business deal, nothing like that. As far as they were concerned, they're cool. So they tell the police also, as the police are talking to them, they just happen to notice that that ranch, the land, is full of that red clay mud. Excuse me. So as they're talking to the brothers, they tell the police that, Sam did call them on December 9th and asked if he could go and if he could stop by and burn some trash. And they're like, yeah, sure. Okay. He shows up burning stuff. And apparently at some point the fire got too large and they basically told him like, yeah, you got to go, they don't need that shit there. Also interesting enough, just to let you know how much of a dog Sam is. They tell them that Sam actually has a mobile home on their property where he goes to take women. Which, I guess I commend him for not taking them into his own house, unless he was doing that shit too. But I'm guessing that's where Rachel was hanging out. Which means she probably knew who the two brothers were. So, he's been taking women there. No bad blood. Red clay mud. Dots are really starting to connect now. And then there is the footage at the car wash. So Sam is actually seen at the car wash on December 9th as well. And he's there looking very disheveled. This is also in December. Cedar Park's outside Austin, so we don't get cold, but December's still pretty cool, and this dude showed up to the car wash barefoot, which is very odd. Even in the summer, that would be weird, just because of how hot it gets here. Dirt would burn, concrete would burn. It doesn't make any sense. He looks messy as shit, barefoot, and he's cleaning his fucking truck bed with bleach. Like, boy. thank you for being stupid, but oh my god, it's still remarkable. And you know what? I'm not even gonna lie. I'd probably be that stupid if I killed someone also. That's why I'm not fucking doing it. Well, also, I don't think I could handle it. Anyway, so this dude is at the car wash, cleaning out his car, barefoot, just really weird, very bizarre behavior, that's for sure. So then we also have our final big contender into solving this murder. The security cameras. So as police are, they confiscate all of the equipment, his computer, everything tied to those cameras. And as they start looking through, on December 8th, just before midnight, there's a camera in the backyard between the house and the shed. You see Mandy just zoom from the behind the house into the shed, and you see Sam just darting right after her. And Sam is so fast, he's like a flash. So you see that at some point he's chasing her. And, they also see Mandy never comes out of the shed. But you see Sam going back and forth. You see him the next day once it's daylight, power washing the office. At one point, he even stops, crouches down to his knees and is heaving like he's going to hurl because he's so repulsed by whatever is in there. He gets up, collects himself, and gets back to work, of course. Then, about 7:45 p.m., as it's getting dark, you see Sam. He walks behind the house, and then the camera turns off. Almost like he doesn't want his neighbors or passing traffic to see what he is transporting. And then that's, you know, when you see him in the toll road driving to Bastrop County. So he tried his best to delete all of this stuff. To no avail, they were able to find it. As much as we like to believe everything's deleted, it's not. And then, sorry, I want to see how long this is going. And then, so, the main thing that they don't even think he was aware of is so that there was actually a camera in the office. And when it was activated, like motion detected, it would actually take little pictures. So it wouldn't just fully record, it would take pictures, and those pictures would be stored elsewhere. And they found 4 very, very telling pictures. The most important piece to this story and case have been identified. So, in these pictures, the first picture is you see Mandy where she ran into the shed. You see her in there. She's up, she's standing. Second picture is Sam standing over Mandy's body, and there is a clear pool of blood at where her head would be because she's blonde. She has very blonde hair, so you can see because she's in a blue sweater, so you can see the color contrast. You can see her skin color, and then you just see blonde. And then there's a pool of blood. Then, picture number 3. Is Sam crouching next to her lifeless body. And as it is, you also notice in these snapshots, there's the room. To the left is like where the desk and the desk chair are, which means the door's on the right. And that's where you see Mandy laying. But under the chair on the left is another pool of blood, and we'll get to that. But yes, third picture is him crouching over her body. Fourth picture, Sam walking away, and you can see Mandy dead on the floor, totally visible to the camera. And you can see there's definite trauma to her. You can tell this is where it ended. This is where Sam killed her. With this evidence, police make their arrest. And Sam is charged with first-degree murder. He's actually, he does plead guilty to the murder in November 2022, which, you know what? I can always appreciate when they can just admit defeat and not put the family through a trial, because that's just so unnecessary. But one of the conditions for him pleading guilty and getting like a shorter sentence is he has to write a confession. Oh my god, my shoulder blade. Don't get old. So, in this confession, Sam tells police, or he writes rather, because he has to handwrite it. Sam writes that on December 8th, just before midnight, they get into an argument. This must have been a heated argument, or Sam must have already been at his wit's end, because he pulls a gun on her. Seeing the gun, Mandy flees. Mandy flees, and he goes after her. She runs into the shed. Sam follows. And this is when she's behind that desk with the chair. And he hits her with the butt of the pistol right in the face, and in the head, face head. And that's where you see all the blood. She's already bleeding. So she tries to run back out, and that's when he shoots her. That's when pictures 2, 3, and 4, because picture 1 should have said this, is her standing by the desk. Pictures 2, 3, and 4 are when she tried to get out. So it all links up. After that, he decided to... Oh, I missed this whole part. So, I apologize for this. So, you know what? Whatever. We'll just keep going. So, he tells the police that he starts, you know, cleaning everything up, cleaning up the blood, and figuring out how he's going to get rid of her body. Which is why we see the power washing, which is why that horrible varnish is there on the floor. Because it's rushed. He decides the best way to get rid of her remains is to burn her. So he loads, and this is when the camera goes off, he loads Mandy into his truck as well as a bunch of trash. He covers her body in trash. That way he can transport her without anybody seeing her. And he burns her. And see, and I apologize for missing this. When the police were at the Martinez's ranch, they asked them if they can search, and they show them where he had burned the trash. In the remains of the fire, they find bone fragments. And along with those fragments, they also find teeth. And the teeth, along with some jewelry that are found, are how they're able to identify Mandy. But as the Martinez's are talking to the police, one of them says that, you know, I also saw him by the pond. And they go ahead and drain the pond, and there they find more of her remains. So he tossed some of her into the pond and burned the rest, all of which was recovered. So because of this heinous act, Sam is charged with, again, first degree murder. He's sentenced to prison for 45 years because he gave that confession. And her family, you know, doesn't have to go through a trial, doesn't have to wonder. And for the most part, like, everything that he's saying is proven by cameras. So if he left anything out, I can't imagine that he left much out because of the pictures that that camera caught. Now, Rachel and Josiah, because Josiah, you know, was at the house when the police showed up and Rachel disposed of the bag, police couldn't prove that they were involved in any way, that they knew anything, especially because, you know, Josiah didn't have a... I feel like if Josiah knew his brother killed her, he wouldn't have so freely mentioned that Rachel was there. And then Rachel... I think Rachel is just naive. She's young. And I don't know. Maybe she just saw... And I know people are going to be like, oh, you can't expect this. But maybe she saw that, you know, Sam could provide a good life. I don't know. Because she had the keys to Mandy's Lexus, driving it around as if it's hers. So, neither one of them was actually charged with anything. In fact, both of them, along with the Martinez brothers, testified and were witnesses in court against Sam. So they played their part and they did what they should do. And as for Mandy's kids, unfortunately, because, I mean, their dad is basically, you know, Sam was just a big man baby. From what it sounds like. Could fuck around. But instead of just, I don't know. If he's cheating and everything. And maybe he just didn't want to be with Mandy anymore. Instead of fucking just walking away. She had to die. And that's the most selfish thing ever. Because he orphaned his kids. Plain and simple. And the kids were at home. When he did this. And they were old enough to remember. So this man was so selfish. Not only did he orphan his own children, but he gave them a seething memory. A memory that will... And this is right before Christmas. So these kids are going to remember this every December. When family is supposed to be coming together. It's just their grandma and their aunt. Things along those lines. I don't know how much family there is. I know they have them. But I think if anything, every time we talk about true crime, I think the main thing we should always take away from it is that actions have consequence, and our actions always, always, always impact someone else. As much as we like to think that, oh, well, it's only affecting me, it really doesn't. It trickles down. At some point, it is going to affect someone. And as much as we don't want to admit it or being selfish, someone has to pay for it sometimes. In this case, it was his kids and his family. So, I know we got a little serious there, but I think Sam stands as living proof of what happens when you're only concerned about yourself and what you want, and you have people depending on you. So Sam's a little man bitch baby, and I think all we can do is wish his kids the best. I didn't get very far in my little book sleeve. Sorry, Angeli, I'm working on it. If you like this, you know, like, subscribe. I'm about to start posting on TikTok and shit. I just wanted to get a little better, and I'm hoping there's some progress here. If any of you do watch this or listen, send me patterns to try. Because that's what I really want to do. Like, if you want me to test your pattern on here, that'd be awesome. Because I'll be honest, I love crocheting. I'm just not creative enough to, like, think of them on my own. I can use something for inspiration and kind of alter it and create it my own thing. But starting from scratch, I cannot do. Like, hats off to all of you who make your own patterns. But yeah. So that was the tragic story of Mandy Gordon with a little life lesson that was nobody asked for. But I just felt the need to, just because it just really bothers me when people do shit like that. Murderers specifically. You know. Me. So, I hope all of you have a great day. And, you know, don't be an asshole. Keep crafting. And I'll catch you on the next one. Bye.